This is the KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl. Coming up, embattled Bureau of Land Management leader William Perry Pendley, in his own words, plus a ballot question in Denver would create a permanent revenue stream to address the capital city's homeless crisis, and snowboarders who reported themselves after triggering an avalanche are facing criminal charges. First, here's Jody Peterson with headlines.
The Grand Mesa, Uncompahgre, and Gunnison National Forests ended all current fire restrictions on Monday, October 26th. Forest visitors still need to be careful with fire outdoors and avoid leaving untended campfires. A measure is on the ballot that would decrease Colorado's income tax rate. Proposition 116 would decrease the state income tax for individuals from 4.63% of federal taxable income to 4.55%. Businesses would see a similar tax reduction. As an example, a person making $50,000 per year would pay about $40 less in Colorado tax under this proposal. The reductions would cut the state's tax revenue by an estimated $150 million per year. Here's State Representative Jerry Sonnenberg, Senate District 1, the measure's author, explaining why he thinks it's needed.
I just think it's important to allow people to keep more of their own money in their own pockets so they can spend it on what they need and not what government needs. If you allow businesses to have more money, they will use that money to stimulate the economy.
Emily Serrata, Colorado State Representative for House District 9, offers a counterargument against Proposition 116.
It's very simple. This current economic recession that we are in and the global pandemic, they have wreaked havoc on Colorado's state budget. We have to slash more than $3 billion from state spending. We are talking about vital state services, and now is not the time to be making these cuts. Now is the time to be shoring up our resources to ensure we can serve those who are in need during this recession and pandemic. And this initiative predominantly benefits the wealthy and the well-connected.
For KVNF, this is Jody Peterson.
Two snowboarders who triggered an avalanche in the backcountry of Colorado in March will face criminal charges, the Mountain West News Bureau's Madeline Beck reports.
According to the Colorado Sun, the boarders called it in and gave helmet camera footage to the Colorado Avalanche Information Center. That footage is now being used to charge them with reckless endangerment. The slide destroyed an avalanche mitigation device and covered a road. The two men could face paying nearly $170,000 for damages. Ethan Green is director of that avalanche center. He says it is a public agency that works with law enforcement.
There is no law against triggering an avalanche, but there are laws against causing damage to people and infrastructure.
Still, he is concerned these charges could have a chilling effect on the free flow of information between the agency and backcountry recreators. This all comes at a time when more people are expected to hit the backcountry with mountain resort access limited during the pandemic. Avalanche experts generally warn recreators to check their surroundings to limit damage to people and property, check conditions, and be safe this upcoming season. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Madeline Beck.
Denver voters will get to decide if the city should create a permanent, dedicated revenue stream to address the city's growing homeless crisis. Eric Galatis has more.
Denver City Council approved adding a homelessness resolution fund to the November ballot, which would generate up to $40 million a year by ratcheting up the city's sales tax by 0.25%. Councilwoman Robin Kanich says the measure will help both the chronically homeless and people hit by the economic fallout of COVID-19 get off the streets and back on their feet.
They're folks who are newly homeless because they lost their job during COVID. They're families with kids, and this is our chance to help give them an opportunity to restart their lives, to become stable, and to help to be a healthier community.
More than one in three Coloradans are worried they'll lose their housing because they can't pay their rent or mortgage, according to a recent Colorado Health Foundation survey, and people of color are disproportionately at risk. The fund would be used to build housing, improve emergency shelters, and provide services for people experiencing or exiting homelessness. The bump in sales tax is expected to cost the average household almost $5 a month. I'm Eric Galatis.
Next, we have excerpts from an interview with William Perry Pendley, who became the de facto director of the Bureau of Land Management starting in July 2019. A federal judge recently blocked him from continuing to serve in that role, but Pendley has told media outlets that he disagrees with the judge's decision and will stay on the job at the agency.
William Perry Pendley, Deputy Director for Policy and Programs at the Bureau of Land Management, spoke with New Mexico journalist Laura Paskus in late September. Pendley was visiting Chaco Culture National Historical Park, which is developing 2 million acres of oil and gas leases in the area. This interview is courtesy of New Mexico in Focus, a production of New Mexico PBS.
Deputy Director Pendley, you've essentially been the acting director of the BLM since July last year. What's your vision for this agency?
I think the number one issue for me when I first got there, obviously, was to move the headquarters to the west. We had 550 employees positions in Washington, D.C. 99.99% of the Bureau of Land Management lands are in the west and Alaska. Most of our employees are here, 97%. But we still had our leaders in Washington, D.C., and the desire was to put the leaders out to work hand in glove with the people in the field, to learn from them and have the people in the field learn from our leaders who had the Washington, D.C. experience. And at the same time, put our people on the ground so that they could make better decisions earlier in the process. We're going through a remarkable fire season. It's not record setting. A lot of people are surprised by that, but we got 30-some thousand people in the field fighting fire right now. If there's one thing we learned during the virus, and we've learned lots of things. I hope we've learned lots of things. But I know at the Bureau of Land Management, one of the things we've learned is that the American people want to come out on BLM land and recreate. Visitations at our BLM sites have just skyrocketed. And so we know that when the pandemic is over next summer, I think they're going to come back and we'll be prepared to receive them.
I'm curious how you see the agency changing over time as the demand for oil and gas decreases.
We understand it's cyclical. You know, a few months ago during the virus, the value of oil was negative. You couldn't give it away. It's rebounded. I don't know where the prices are going to go. I'm a lawyer. I do know that Congress has asked us to increase wind energy and solar energy and geothermal energy, and we've done that. We just created one of the biggest solar arrays down near Las Vegas. Greenlighted it in the history of the country, $1 billion project on BLM lands. The president's committed to an all-of-the-above energy program, and we're getting that done at the Bureau of Land Management.
And that was William Perry Pendley, Deputy Director for Policy and Programs at the Bureau of Land Management. While the Bureau of Land Management paused oil and gas lease sales over the summer due to COVID-19, they've since resumed, reports Politico. In late September and early October, the agency offered more than 100,000 acres of public land for oil and gas leasing, mostly in the West and the South, with six more lease sales scheduled before 2021. For KVNF, I'm Jody Peterson.
That does it for the KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl. Thanks for listening.